And I am continuing to type up Peter Kropotkin. It's for because of the my particular circumstances of being under 24/7 assault. Often, that's the only way I can read for, I suppose, complicated reasons. I don't know the reasons on their end and on mine, but I am very grateful to Peter Kropotkin. I said that to say that it's not totally, what's the word? Selfless, me sharing his words. There's a practical element. So let's turn to, anyway, my point being that the most, I did just now add a little bit more if you are following the, by downloading, up, whatever, yeah, downloading the excerpts I'm putting up from Peter Kropotkin's essays. And he has turned to this subject of what he's, the title of it is Revolutionary Government, which pisses him off, putting those two words together. And it is very important to have his certainty with us in our hearts. And I, he is a model of I don't know, I want to say, well, I guess certainty, a rock. He absolutely knows that we do not need anyone else to tell us what to do. And that is the certainty we're trying to grow with these shows. And it is trying to figure out, as he did, why do not more of us share that certainty? You know, that has led to the probing of various issues and has led us to the folks we need to answer that question, like Karl Popper's explanation of their use of Plato for self-justification and political strategy, and are leading us also to Alice for our understanding of how child-rearing itself became their secret weapon. Turning to Alice, we are reading Alice for at least three things: to see how the state gets made in us, to see the deep conditioning of the Plato's tribesmen when they were children, and to hear what suggestions Alice has for deconditioning ourselves, dismantling the state within, breaking free of the trans. And there'll be some overlapping text so that we can sort of easily get back, hopefully get back into the flow where we left off. We concluded last week with Alice stressing how important it is, and this is quoting her, quote, "how important it is that we all be aware of the effect of the commandment to refrain from placing blame on our parents. This commandment, deeply imprinted in us by our upbringing, skillfully performs the function of hiding essential truths from us, or even making them appear as their exact opposites. The price many of us must pay for this is severe neurosis. What becomes of all those people who are the successful products of a strict upbringing? It's inconceivable that they were able to express and develop their true feelings as children, for anger and helpless rage, which they were forbidden to display, would have been among these feelings, particularly if these children were beaten, humiliated, lied to, and deceived. What becomes of this forbidden and therefore unexpressed anger? Unfortunately, it does not disappear, but is transformed with time into a more or less conscious hatred directed against either the self or substitute persons. A hatred that will seek to discharge itself in various ways permissible and suitable for an adult. The little Katies and Conrads of all time have always been in agreement as adults that their childhood was the happiest period of their life. Only with today's younger generation are we seeing a change taking place in this regard. Lloyd DeMoss is probably the first scholar who's made a thorough study of the history of childhood without glossing over the facts and without invalidating the results of his research with an idealizing commentary. Because this psychohistorian has the ability to empathize, he has no need to repress the truth. The truth laid bare in his book, The History of Childhood, is sad and depressing, but it holds hope for the future. Those who read this book, and his last name is spelled DeMause, D-E, capital M-A-U-S-E. Those who read this book, The History of Childhood, and realize that the children described here later turned into adults, will no longer find the atrocities in human history, and I have to always add, underclass. Let's stop rendering invisible our brothers and sisters who were not whose souls were not dismantled in this way, because they retain their connection to the earth and receive the embrace of love of their communities. We'll no longer find the atrocities in human history underclass hard to understand. They will locate the places where the seeds of cruelty have been sown, and by virtue of their discovery, will conclude that the human race need not remain the victim of such cruelty forever. For by uncovering the unconscious rules of the power game and the methods by which it attains legitimacy, we are certainly in a position to bring about basic changes. The rules of the game cannot be fully comprehended, however, unless we develop an understanding of the hazards of early childhood, that time when the ideology of child rearing is passed on to the next generation. Without a doubt, the conscious ideals of young parents of the present generation have changed. Obedience, coercion, severity, and lack of feeling are no longer recognized as absolute values. And my comment, except among these power guys, except among those trainers of a whole army of children specifically to reproduce their rule. And this is one of those insights, I guess you could say. A big lesson that derived from my book getting out into the world and my writings, and then with these radio shows, my words, my speech, that it is not simply how things roll that they maintain their rule. No. This is by serious and concerted planning to the extent of creating the children who will become the adults who will reproduce the conditions of class and continue the mission of realizing the Republic as a global vision. So this is not by happenstance that these guys' rule has gotten tighter and tighter and tighter, that things have gotten worse and worse and worse, that more and more of the earth is removed from our hands. That we have less and less room to move and maneuver. The objective of us being totally under the control, that our lives being totally in their hands, has been moving forward apace. And now that we understand this, it is absolutely critical that we not wait a second longer and move forward our global vision, starting with expansive and broad and intensive discussions wherever and however we can.